Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come. This is the NBA edition. Woohoo! Applause break. Yeah, man. Coming at you. I'm going to be bringing you guys at least two NBA podcasts in addition to the NFL content that we have rolling here. Right now, I'm thinking Monday, Friday. Those are two nice-sized slates. The Wednesday slate, I'm just not going to be able to get to that. The key there is that Wednesday is like the NFL player breakdown. I am still going to try to bring you guys a recap NFL podcast. It's going to be much shorter. Since we know a lot of the trends, I'm going to go through some of the more important trends from some of the more interesting games, things like that, things that stood out, performances that stood out. But of course, you can expect the game breakdown and the player breakdown for NFL. So that content won't change. You're just going to get two more NBA podcasts here coming at you guys. So a lot of work to be done on my end. I'm going to be behind the mic writing notes quite a bit. Going to try to keep these NBA shows under an hour for you guys so you can jam in some quick research, listen to some other resources, whatever the case may be, and try and build some lineups before you play tonight. Now, hey, listen, the thing I'll say about early season NBA is rotations are going to change. Guys' minutes are coming and going, ebbing and flowing. We haven't figured out exactly what rotations are going to look like. And the even crazier thing is we've seen tons and tons and tons of injuries early in the year. Guys who are already sitting out, things of that nature. So late news, of course, is always going to change a lot of the takes that we have here. And if value pops up or, certain players disappear, things change. You've got to pay attention to those types of stuff. For example, just walked into recording, Eric Bledsoe, not active for the Suns. Apparently, Suns front office didn't really take kindly to him just straight up saying, I don't want to be here. Don't blame him. It's a disaster in Phoenix. And he only has so many more years left in this league to make an impact. So get Bledsoe out of there. And who knows? Maybe that's why he's not active. He's being traded today. So let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to take a look at what Vegas has to say for tonight. All right, Philly at Detroit. Detroit, 3-point home favorites here, 214-point total. Detroit looking at a 109 implied to Philly's 105. This is going to be a Joel Embiid game. But Detroit playing really well. I mean, they've gotten some really good performances from Tobias Harris to this point. Seems to be their go-to scorer, highest usage rate on the team. They're kind of coming together, and it seems like this team is a little bit more mature than last year's team. So interesting spot for Detroit in this one. Of course, on the Philadelphia side, when it's a Joel Embiid night, you know where you're going to get. You're going to get 28 minutes. You're going to get over a fantasy point per minute. So certainly an interesting spot for Embiid in play tonight against this on the road in Detroit. Atlanta, Miami. This one should be all about the defense, but Miami certainly the better team. Atlanta is going to be down Dennis Schroeder. Big deal. That's a big deal. He is their lead scorer. He is their leader in usage. Malcolm Delaney stepping up for them, going to be playing point guard. So there is your min price starting point guard here, $3,100 on FanDuel. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, needless to say, that's kind of a must have in your lineups tonight. No reason not to go after that. The one thing, you know, I mean, Atlanta only implied for 96 points here, 204 total, one of the lower totals on the slate. Miami implied for 107. They are 11-point favorites. Of course, we are aware that Deion Waiters dealing with an ankle injury, but he has been playing just kind of more limited in his minutes. They've been keeping an eye on him. He will start. Josh Richardson at the 3, James Johnson at the 4, no Whiteside in the middle. He's going to be out for a little while. Nonetheless, the Hawks very beat up here. So could certainly look to them for some for some value, guys, I mean, there's going to have to be some scoring. It's likely that John Collins is going to, you know, get more minutes, more usage. He's been a really offensively minded player, or really offensive boon for them. So certainly an interesting spot to go to. Some Hawks value guys here. I mean, specifically Delaney and Collins are the two cheapest guys who will probably get about more than 25 minutes. Memphis Houston, 213 total here. This one opened, interestingly enough, this one opened in much closer than it is now. It opened, I believe it opened at 211, and it's now gone up to 213. It's getting a lot of movement on the over, and it opened as an 8-point spread for the Rockets. It's now down to almost 7 for the Rockets. So people are certainly interested in what the Grizz have shown them lately. And, you know, why not? I mean, you're 2-0. You're beating good teams. You put a whooping on Golden State. You know, you kind of made them look and feel very silly. So it was certainly a nice spot for bettors to get after, you know, what they thought was a bad spread, a weak spread there. So total is going up. I mean, it's still going up. Good gracious. 2.5 points now. It's gone up. That's wild. So this game should be very, very interesting. It's getting a lot of good attention in Vegas for sure. Golden State at Dallas, 214 total in this one. Golden State, big favorites in the line moving towards them, -11 and a 0.5-point favorites, 84% of spread bets on the Warriors, obviously in a bounce back here. You can't think that they're going to lose a third game on the season. It just kind of, who loses three games? Not the Warriors. So it's a very interesting spot here, no doubt about it. For the Warriors in this one, you got to think that they're going to get a bounce back here. Devin Harris listed out for the Mavs, but he has not gotten really any minutes at all recently. So the question is, you know, how limited will Dennis Smith be, that kind of thing. But I'm not really interested in playing rookie point guard against the Warriors defense here. You know, just not a good spot in my mind for the Mavs. Toronto San Antonio, 203.5 total in this one, and this total is dropping. These are two very defensive teams, no doubt about it. San Antonio favored by 2.5 at home in San Antonio, getting 60% of spread bets. This game should be competitive by all accounts. No Kawhi out there, so you won't have anybody to take DeMar out. You would think this game would be much, much higher spread if Kawhi was out there. But Kawhi not out there, as we know, still dealing with that quad injury. So, you know, it'll be Rudy Gay, it'll be Kyle Anderson getting a whole lot of minutes. Danny Green filling in at the two. A lot of the scoring, though, going through LaMarcus Aldridge. His price has jumped up, and they're certainly accounting for that. Should be interesting. I mean, you never sleep on Popovich, but this should be a game. On paper, this looks like a game the Raptors could challenge for. But I will say one thing, Jonas Valanciunas day-to-day with an ankle. So if he was playing, I think that would have been really a big boom for the Raptors in this situation. We have Charlotte at Milwaukee. This is actually the other game in the Central Time Zone, 203.5 total here. The Charlotte is... they are 5-point road dogs here in this one. The spread is Milwaukee -7. It opened at -6. Now it's -7. Moving towards Milwaukee, 69% of public money on the Bucks in this one. And the total dropping. And it's likely because of the history of these two teams. They have really packed it in the paint against each other and just kind of said, you know what? Shoot the three. And Charlotte does that. I mean, that's kind of was their approach last year. It was, don't foul, don't give up the inside, let him shoot the three, we'll make him beat us from the outside. Milwaukee's not the team that can do that. So even though they have Giannis, who seems to be the most unstoppable force ever, certainly seems like this game could be a little bit ugly, and I don't think betting the under is crazy in this one. Moving out west, Washington at Denver. This seems to be the game of the day. 222-point total, by far the highest total on the slate. by 8 points at this point. When the Dallas Golden State game opened, it's only 8 points behind that. It was the leader by about 11 points until that game opened. So, yeah, big number there in Denver makes a lot of sense. You got two high powered offenses. You got, a team in Denver that's going to look to get back on track. And Washington is sneaky high pace. I wrote about this in my RotoViz piece. They actually finished top 10 in pace last year. And we know Denver plays at a pretty serious pace. The public is split here. It's about 50-50 bets. But the spread is moving towards Denver. They have gone from -3 to -4, which is really interesting considering that they're only getting 48% of spread bets. That means that sharp money certainly seems to like Denver. Perhaps that is the early season fitness kind of bonus that Denver gets for playing at home when they have a visiting team there. It's a visit, get the thin air, which does make a difference for guys who run a lot of minutes. So I like John Wall quite a bit in this spot. I don't know if he's my favorite play just because of his price. You know, am I going to go to John Wall or am I going to go to James Harden? I think I would probably choose Harden over as a stud in that situation. Kings, Suns, 207 total. This one has dropped because it's just ugly here. We just got the news that Eric Bledsoe not starting. Of course, Earl Watson fired for the Suns. Mike Triano, I think it is, interim head coach for the Suns out there. Suns opened as 2-point favorites. The line has completely and wholly flipped toward the Kings, and I couldn't agree more. It's going to 4-point switch, which is insanity for a line to completely and wholly flip. But you know what? I wish I was smart enough when I saw that the Suns were favored to jump on this line for the Kings. Kings should be able to get it done. The Suns are just an absolute disaster right now. So plenty of money coming in on the Kings in this one. So you got to like your Kings and the Sacramento team who, you know what? They're not exciting, but at least they have some bright spots, and Phoenix seems to have very few of those right now. All right, so there it is. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games here tonight on a Tuesday. Let's go, or Monday. It's Monday. Let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, so if you guys remember, I do this not in a position by position tiers. I do this in a pricing tier. So I go through the studs, the medium value grout guys, and then the value guys. Now, the thing I will say about early season NBA is I really do believe it's important to probably try and barbell your lineups with minutes, right? Going down to guys who you know at low prices are going to be getting plenty of minutes. Taking that salary relief, just knowing that, listen, pricing hasn't accounted for the fact that this guy is getting minutes now. So you take his minutes, you run with it, you trust the minutes for low salary guys, and then you take the studs who you know have the usage, who you know have the ability to produce in good matchups. So that's kind of what my advice is here, especially for cash games. So let's go into the studs, to the top of the slate here. Point guard. It's got to start with John Wall at Denver, no doubt about it. Steph is right there at 9-2, but John Wall, you got to really like this. 35% usage rate, over 35 minutes projected here. You know, he's the highest usage player on the highest total game, you know, of the slate. So, the most productive. So you have to like him this year. Wall's averaged 53 DK points in high total games over 220 points. Last year, we know Denver was ripe for the picking against point guards. They are certainly seem to be in that situation again here with Moutier and Jamal Murray sharing the minutes. I just don't see John Wall having an issue attacking those guys whatsoever. The question is whether or not, the rest of the defense can account and hold up the interior with Paul Millsap and Gary Harris. They have a couple good pieces there to help out. Their bottom half the year, though, allowing 25 points and 7 total assists to the position. So, you know, it certainly is a good spot for John Wall. You worry about the fitness a little bit. You hope that he's not out of gas going into Denver in that thin air. But, you know, he is priced high. He's priced a lot more expensive than Steph. Steph also on the road. He's cheaper. High total game there. They need to win. Do you want to go, you know, do you feel like they have a similar range of outcomes? What's the margin there? Is Wall going to need to score 10, 15 more points than Steph? Are they going to be able to put, are the Warriors going to be able to put this one away a lot earlier than the Wizards? So that's kind of my thinking there. Going down to shooting guard, it's got to be James Harden. And I actually think James Harden might be my favorite based on what I'm seeing from this line in Vegas. I think that Harden has a good chance. You know, Memphis we see is a really defensively minded team, but they've been scoring about 100 plus points per game. And I think that, you know, schematically, they're a really good defensive team and they'll slow down the pace a little bit, but they're on the road. They're in Houston. We know Houston is still going to play at a breakneck pace. We have no CP3. Massive usage, 35% plus usage rate, and he's going to get 37 minutes. I mean, there's no other stud out there except for Giannis who has those same numbers, okay? Well, and John Wall. Giannis, John Wall, and Harden, they are their big usage minutes guys on their respective teams. And so Harden in this situation seems like he's in a really good spot. You know, he's at home. He's cheaper. He's in between Wall and Giannis, which I like. And while I don't mind the numbers, the Vegas numbers for the Milwaukee-Charlotte game, I do think that Charlotte knows how to play against this team. And I think Giannis his scoring will come back down to earth. I mean, you look at Boston and Portland. Portland is a pretty bad defensive team. Boston also, no rebounding, no size, no rim protector there. What happened? I mean, Giannis against Cleveland, also a poor defensive team. Charlotte's not necessarily a poor defensive team. They're just an average defensive team, and they have the ability to basically sit back on their back line with a lot of their size, with Dwight and Frank there on the back line, Marv on the, you know, playing the three. And, Jeremy Lamb is not small either. So I think they pack it in here and they say, listen, you don't have Malcolm Brogdon. You have very limited weapons offensively besides Chris Middleton and Giannis. So if Chris Middleton can start to shoot the three, then we'll challenge that. But that's it. And Giannis won't shoot the three. They're going to pack it in here. That's the thing that worries me. That's why I kind of prefer Harden. Memphis seems like a tough matchup. But, you know, I mean, think about this. He's going to get James Ennis. James Ennis is not bad. But, you know, last year it was Tony Allen. It was James Ennis. And Harden did double-double against this team twice or three times, I think it is. And here's an interesting stat. Memphis is actually fouling quite a bit in the paint. They're above average in free throws allowed in the paint this year. And they're allowing 14 threes per game, which is an above average rate as well. So that's two things that work in Harden's favor. You know, you want that balance of I'm going to get to the rim, I'm going to get the free throws, and I'm also going to then force you to come challenge me on the outside while I take these free threes. Because he shot the three a lot against Memphis last year, a lot, and he's comfortable doing it. So I think he will again tonight. At small forward is Kevin Durant at Dallas. The annoying thing about Kevin Durant in this situation is the annoying thing about Steph and KD is they could both go for 40 and they could win the game handily by the third quarter. This is always the problem with them. But he is priced really, really well. He definitely could have a 50 burger, no doubt about it, with the way he's playing right now. They need to score. They need to win this game. The problem that I have is it's a -8 pace differential. Of course, the Warriors don't really play to anyone else's pace. They play however they want. Problem is just how long do they have to play like that? They're favored by 11. Line is moving away from Dallas. I just don't think that KD is a better investment than, say, Harden, Giannis, even some of the other guys in competitive games and, you know, the guys in Denver and Washington. I think that those guys might be a better investment. Try to project the game here. Do you try to project what could happen in Dallas? I don't know if that's the best investment. At power forward, of course, it is the Greek Freak, Giannis. We're going to be talking about him pretty much every night. He's the most expensive player on the board. The question you have to ask yourself every single night Giannis is on the board is, who's going to guard this man? Who is going to guard this man on the Hornets? Marvin Williams? Frank Kaminsky? Probably both of them, right? As far as from a size perspective, it's not the terrible, but this man is, he's 6'11", 222 pounds. Okay, this is a longer, this is a heavier, stronger Kevin Durant, and this is a longer LeBron. It's just not fair. It's not fair. The thing I will say is that Charlotte is a pretty neutral defensive matchup. They just don't do anything badly. They don't do anything excellently. We knew last year that you attacked them at the three-point line. We knew last year they don't give up free throws. They will not foul you. They will let you, they will let you have your game, but they will not foul you. They will not send you to the free throw line. The thing that I worry about is has Giannis seen a rim protector like Dwight? Does Dwight change the game for him? Of course, yes. He saw, you know, the new Giannis. Last year, Charlotte was able to kind of limit him. And in his last matchup with them, he had like 10 points. He slowly but surely, as the year went along, Charlotte kind of knew how to treat them. The games got lower scoring and lower scoring. Of course, we know that Milwaukee, throughout the course of the year last year, got slower and slower and slower. But you really do want Giannis in the open court in a game where he's going to be able to create, create turnovers and ball movement. It went from 96 points in December to 89 points in March. Charlotte, I don't want to say they have his number, but they feel like they could figure out how to play him in this situation. Back to the rim protector point. Dwight is going to be there on the back line for the majority of the minutes there. Now, Dwight is not perfect. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that Dwight Howard is the reason. This isn't Rudy Gobert. But Tristan Thompson wasn't on the same floor as him. Boston has no rim protector. And we know Nurkic is good, but he's not nearly as athletic as Dwight Howard. As far as, just length. And I guess. I don't know if that's a fair comp. I might be overthinking this. That's my concern with Giannis. It's the price. It's the regression possibility here. He has to get you over 60 points. Is he going to do that? Could. He very well could. He very well could. But, I don't know. That in the margins is where it matters. The difference between 4X and 5X for these studs is a lot. You're talking about 10-point differentials between these guys. So a little bit tougher to gauge there. At center, stud, it's got to be Joel Embiid, man. $8,500, it's an Embiid day. Take advantage. He's not on the slate every single day, but today he will be getting 28 minutes with a 25% usage rate. And we know he averages 1.3 fantasy points per minute. Going up against the Pistons is not perfect. But the thing you will say about Drummond is that Drummond is not really a stretch five. Drummond is a solid classic five, so Embiid should be able to draw him out to the perimeter, use some of those sweet moves that he has, as we know. The one thing is, I will say, I'm not really sleeping on Jokic, but I am not really very impressed with what Jokic has done lately. I mean, he's got like an 18% usage rate. He just has not been great. His price has dropped, reflecting it. That's the thing. His price is dropping, is reflecting it. I love Embiid here. I feel like Jokic in this situation has a bounce back. He is the opposite of of Giannis, right? Giannis is the regression candidate. Jokic is the progression candidate. His salary has dropped all the way to 8,600. We know he's going to get at least 30 minutes, possibly more. He didn't score against the Sacramento Kings, which is just bizarre. He only attempted 3 shots. There's just no way that they look at that film and they say, this is the way that this guy goes. I just don't think you can roster him in cash games because you don't know what the hell is going on. Now, you can roster Joel Embiid in cash games. I have zero issues with that. And in fact, I did a study on what to worry about on different platforms early in the season. Pay for centers. Pay for a center that you want. Pay for a center that's going to get good starting minutes on FanDuel. It's worth it. Paying for centers is worth it on FanDuel. Paying for point guards is where you want to be on DraftKings because of that 3-point bonus. Okay, so it's just the plus minus. That's the way it works out. That's the trend. It's in the margins, but these little things in the margins, being aware of them. Are they gospel? No. Will they work out every time? No, but there's little margins of data that suggest that it's a good idea. All right, moving on to the Grout mid-tier guys here, price below $8,000. You always need a couple of these guys in your lineups, and really getting the ones right that, you know, go 6x, go for 30 when they're only projected for 25, go for those little stupid things. They really make a difference. I mean, you're talking about one steal and a transition layup. That's the difference between 4 and 5x. That's the difference between 5 and 6x. You know, those are the margin makers that you really want out of your lineup. So at point guard, starts with Mike Conley. It just feels like a really good spot for Conley. Conley and Gasol have just been absolutely excellent of late in this season. Just putting on a clinic as far as just how to play good basketball. He's got a high total game in this situation. 7,900 on FanDuel here. He's going to see, 26% usage rate. He's likely going to see about, 25% usage rate on the season. Likely going to see about, 34 minutes here in this one. And if the game stays competitive, then he's probably going to play down the stretch. And, the thing that's different about his matchup with Houston, I was looking back at data and I was like, well, wait a second. This isn't the Patrick Beverly, Mike Conley matchup where you had two of the most respected point guard defenders in the league facing up against each other. And this isn't CP3. CP3 is an excellent defender as well. You know, it's Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon, I like him. He's good. He's fine. He's a decent, replacement level defender. But I think Mike Conley has a good opportunity here alongside Marc Gasol to do some work here. He gets the beautiful 7+ pace bump here, which projects really, really nicely for point guards. That's a +4.29 plus minus for point guards in pace up games like that. So Conley at 7,900, not in a bad spot. I would also encourage you to look at a cheap Kyle Lowry in a competitive game. I mean, that's just too cheap for Kyle Lowry. Really is. I think you value guys are very interesting here, but that is a really cheap price tag for Kyle Lowry at 7,700. He hasn't had to do much, which is why you're going to kind of see this price go down here. And I think his minutes, they're monitoring his minutes because they rode him last year, way too much. But, you have two games against the Bulls and then you have 76ers. Those aren't really competitive games. So he could see this game where he pops above 32 minutes, 34 minutes because he is capable of it and he hasn't seen those minutes yet. So the difference between those 30-point outings and, a 30, 40-point outing for Lowry is certainly in play. So I don't mind Kyle Lowry at 7,700 either if you have the money to go there. At shooting guard, I really like both of the Denver guys, but they're not the only ones that I like. So let me get through here. Gary Harris and Will Barton. Now let's talk through the difference between Gary and Will, because we talk about them a lot on this podcast. You're going to have to familiarize yourself with the Denver Nuggets, okay, gang? I'm a big Nuggets fan for fantasy purposes. The Nugs are going to stay in this game. One of these guys has got to perform. I don't know where Jokic is at. Wilson Chandler certainly could be the guy to bring some offense as well. But Gary Harris or Will Barton is going to have to put up some numbers, for them to get it done. Here's the difference between them, okay? 33 minutes for Harris, 28 for Barton. 15% usage for Harris, 24% usage for Barton. Why? Barton is the guy off the bench. Barton is the guy who, regardless, is going to finish the game. He's probably going to finish the game. He's going to get a lot of staggered minutes with starters in the second quarter. He is the entire offense goes through him on that second unit. So Barton is certainly interesting. He's also been really good this year in fast break, and the Wiz are top 5 in turnovers. So you like the fact that he's going to get this bench unit. You like the fact that he's not going to have to match up and waste his energy guarding Bradley Beal, which Gary Harris will. I think that he just is going to be the guy that they need to come out and score against this bench and put pressure back on the Wizards starters to stay in this game. I don't mind Bradley Beal. Pace up game, 70, highest total in the game, 7,300. He's cheap. He kind of falls in the same category as Kyle Lowry for me. just cheap. I mean, there's a couple plays that are cheap on this board. Steph, Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal, 7,300 for Bradley Beal is just kind of you daring me to play you. I love Bradley Beal at that price. I mean, below 7K, you almost have to play Bradley Beal. But 7,300 feels like, okay, I could be okay with saying you're not going to score 36 points tonight. And I could walk away from that because Will Barton has very, you know, realistically has a very similar, you know, probably what 30 point outcome in his range of outcomes as well. So I don't mind paying down. And I think that that's the key here, right? What are we paying for? We're paying for a range of outcomes. And how cheap can you go to get to a range of outcomes? If you're looking for that 30 point mark, how cheap can you go? One of those guys that you can go to is Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb's just getting minutes and the salary hasn't caught up. 33 minutes so far, exactly a fantasy point per minute, 21% usage rate on the first unit for the Charlotte Hornets. No doubt about it. It's excellent. He's cheaper than Gary. He's cheaper than Will. I will take some Jeremy Lamb here for sure. No doubt about it against the Bucks, who, you know, I mean, it's not a perfect matchup, but it's certainly not a bad matchup. He's 5,500. He's cheaper than Gary Harris and Will Barton. So that's a good spot. He's not quite the value tier, but what are you asking him? You're asking him for over 25 points, right? Get me over 25, buddy. That's what we're asking you for. Oh, Dallas, by the way. Yeah. Sorry. You guys still are really bad against the shooting guard, allowing the most points in the league to the shooting guard. No Seth Curry out there. Wesley Matthews will get Clay. Clay very much in play. Very, very much in play in this one. Hard to look like and look at Clay at 7,200, cheaper than Will Barton and say, or cheaper than Bradley Beal and say that that's not a better play. In fact, I think from a point per dollar perspective, you probably go with Clay over Beal. Oh wait, sorry, Beal is 7,300 on DraftKings, not on FanDuel. Yeah, Beal is a much better value on DraftKings. Sorry guys. Wow, yeah, that's a great value for Beal on DK, especially with that 3-point bonus. On DraftKings, though, or FanDuel, not so much. On FanDuel, it's got to be Clay at 7,200. All right, that is it at the shooting guard position. A couple guys there for you, no doubt. Small forward, I really like Josh Richardson here in this spot at small forward. I just think the points, the minutes, it all kind of lines up to be a good value. He's 5,800. Now, he's the same price as my boy Bob Covington. I'm having a hard time deciphering who I like more, Bob Cov or Josh Richardson. They're both 5,800 on FD. Now, on DraftKings, the nice thing is these guys are flexible. Josh Richardson, 4,800 on DraftKings, and Bob Cov plays at the 4 on DK, I believe. Let me make sure of this. Yeah, I think he is on the... yeah, and he's 5,700. So the value for Josh Richardson is on DraftKings, no doubt about it. But on FanDuel, they're both the same price. So, you know, kind of trying to sort between the two of them there. I think it's probably Richardson just because the minutes have stayed at like an elite level. 37 minutes in his last two games. Just unbelievable. Matchup with the Hawks is actually pretty good. Considering, you know, he'll get Torian Prince, but they're just really low on bodies. And you just have to think that this is a game that Miami controls from start to finish. So I just love the minutes possibility, the scoring upside for him here. Bob Covington, though, you know, the thing is that his salary is dropping. He was up in the 68-7 range and his salary was dropping because he had a dud of a game and didn't get a lot of minutes. But he's been really effective while he's on the court. The problem is the usage, right? The 76ers can play a game where he doesn't have to shoot from the three, for them to win. Like they can do that. Now he's more effective probably with, Embiid on the floor, no doubt about it. The pick and pop game there. He is a shooter when people contract. You know, you want those three for threes for him. And he really struggled in that game. Against DeRozan, which is, I guess, why he got taken out. So I don't mind them. I don't think I'm going to play both of them because there's actually some value guys that are way more appealing. You save another $1,000 on them here. So I like both of them though at that in that price point. I think that that's, you know, a nice value there in the middle, kind of middle priced here at 5,800. I think that's good stuff. Harrison Barnes doesn't really interest me. Yeah, that's about it. I can't really get behind. I mean, Tobias Harris has been excellent, but his price has jumped up in a massive way. So I don't know. You know, TJ Warren, I'm not sure. We saw his minutes drop in that Clippers game. You know, his minutes have been everywhere. He's gone anywhere from 21 to 39 minutes. So I have a hard time not knowing what TJ Warren is going to do with his minutes in this situation, whether or not he's actually going to be worth it. So I'm going to stay away from him. That's why I say Josh Richardson, because he's got the best minutes. He's got the best matchup. He's at home. Power forward, Draymond is really interesting when he drops below 8K. He is 7-7 on FanDuel today. That is a really, really nice price for him. It's really hard not to be slightly interested in Draymond at that price. Of course, the issue with Draymond, 72 on DK. So the issue with Draymond is what it always is. He doesn't have to score for this team to win. That's always what the problem is. And it's very hard to project who's going to do that scoring. So it's a very difficult investment because the consistency isn't necessarily there. And if you go out and you get 30 points out of Draymond and they roll, you're not very happy with yourself. So not my favorite. The problem, the hesitation that I have is we know Dallas is a terrible rebounding team. They continue to be a terrible rebounding team, the fifth most to opposing front courts, but very good at limiting scoring. They're actually the best at limiting scoring from opposing front courts and bigs. And we've seen this from Dallas. They did this, you know, against Karl Anthony Towns a couple times last year. You go after them because you want the rebounds, and they're fine with the rebounds. They'll give you the defensive rebounds because Carlisle doesn't want to make mistakes in transition. But they won't give up the middle. They will pack that back line, and they will use Dirk and Nerlens, and they will make sure, and they will give you the three. They're a lot like Charlotte in this respect. They will pack it in. They'll give you the three. They'll say, shoot the three, which is why Clay is an interesting play. They'll say, shoot the three. We're not going to give you the interior. Now, Draymond isn't necessarily a traditional interior scorer. He's more of a do-it-all type guy, but what does that say? You're going to get a lot of basket cuts? Are you going to get those assists that you want for Draymond? Are you going to get those easy finishes near the rim? Those kinds of things. So I don't know if it's the best investment. James Johnson out here doing James Johnson things. Gosh, man. He is really interesting as well. You know, he is not necessarily the best value because his price has been going up in the last couple days, but man, when he was, you know, below 6K, he was just an unbelievable value because the man just does everything. 8 assists, 5 blocks yesterday against the Pacers. He was 5,200. Prices jumped $1,000 on DK. I mean, I don't know how you don't like this dude. He does it all. He will get you points in every single way that you possibly can. He's going to go up against, you know, John Collins and Mike Muscala. That's not a bad matchup for James Johnson. You know, his minutes are not always as secure. That's the one thing I will say is he can, you know, he seems to can bounce around. You know, we had him open with 18 minutes in his opener versus Orlando, played extremely well. Of course, Spo loves him. And it comes back against the Pacers and he gets 29 minutes. So the question is how many minutes is he going to get? You know, he's going to do a lot. The difference in Johnson is does he get all the minutes? Does he get all the peripherals like blocks and steals that he's good for are make him more of a GPP play. I think that's fair to say. And the rising price, a little bit more of a GPP play, at center. You guys heard me talk about Embiid. You heard me talk about Jokic. Forgot to talk about Marc Gasol. I do like Marc Gasol, but I also really like Dwight. I mean, I think you have to like Dwight Howard. He's pretty much the only one that they have in and Charlotte playing the back line. We know he's going to get plenty of minutes. Those minutes are very, very projectable for him. As a result, you have to think that that's a good position for him to be in. The question is he worth 7,400? You know, he's a solid 5X. The issue that you really have is that there's a lot of value guys down here that could do a lot better for you. Some guys who are just unbelievably cheap. You know, the Mike Muscala's, Tyson Chandler's of the world, 4K and below, which is when you really want to exploit some of these gaps in pricing. And Dwight is not cheap. He's not. And, you know, so the question is am I going to pay for Dwight at 7,400 or am I going to go to, you know, am I going to go to Jokic or Embiid, who probably have a much higher ceiling than Dwight Howard does in this situation? This is kind of an aggressive price for Dwight. His price has been going up. You know, that's what I worry about. They also have the same range of outcomes. They're all kind of right there at that 35 points, right? Which if you're saying, okay, Dwight's going to get me 35, that's a much better value than 35 from Jokic. No doubt about it. The question is can you fade a guy like, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein at 5,800? Or can you get off of Mike Muscala at 3,300? Those guys are just too cheap, almost too cheap to avoid. So there are certainly some places for value out here as well. All right, here's a couple, speaking of value, here are a couple names that you're going to need to know at the various positions, some different spots that you can fill in. Bargain basement, 5K and below. Starting at point guard, I mentioned this. You're going to have to look at Malcolm Delaney, guys. I mean, Malcolm Delaney is going to get the minutes. He is serviceable. Yesterday, he scored... Yesterday in Brooklyn, 13 fantasy points across 22 minutes. He's probably going to get himself up to 32 minutes here against Miami, a good defensive team, but he is pretty much, you know, your min price point guard free square. You don't fade value point guards. The other guy that I'm interested in, though, is De'Aaron Fox. Phoenix, absolutely terrible against the point guard. De'Aaron Fox playing extremely well in the second unit. I think he's more of a GPP option. I think he'll come lower owned. He's 5,600. He's got a 27% usage rate. Really, really keying in on the assists as well. Been playing extremely well. Phoenix should be a good spot for him to try and be explosive and take some minutes off of George Hill, who, if George Hill's not completely healthy, they feel comfortable giving it to Aaron Fox, or De'Aaron Fox, excuse me. At shooting guard, Wes Matthews, man. I mean... He's too cheap. He's going to be playing the Warriors. You know, the Warriors are good at closing out on the three-point line. They don't allow you to shoot the three. They won't get beat by the three. That's kind of the way they do things. You know, Wes Matthews is below 5K on both sites. I believe he's below 5K on both sites. So you're going to have to pay attention to him because it's just way too much value. Yeah, 4.8 on FanDuel. Kent Bazemore also 4.8 on FanDuel. You know, we know he has a little bit more athleticism, possibly a better matchup here for Bazemore, but he really didn't even do anything against Brooklyn. I don't really know what he's going to do against. He didn't do anything against Brooklyn. Why do we think that Kent Bazemore is now all of a sudden going to pop against Miami, which is a much worse matchup. So, you know, I certainly think that we can go to, Wes Matthews here. And actually, I believe Malcolm Delaney, I think he is shooting guard eligible. Yeah, he is also shooting guard eligible on DK. Oh, shit. I completely forgot about this. Delly is no Malcolm Brogdon. Delly's going to get all the minutes in Charlotte against Charlotte. He's terrible. And the Spectre always says never Adova. But you know, I mean, he is a salary filler. He is a salary filler, no doubt about it. So, certainly an interesting spot for him. I completely forgot. No Eric Bledsoe means we're going to see Mike James for Phoenix. He's going to get, he's $3,000 on DraftKings, guys. He's put in 22 minutes. He's been insane. He put in 22 minutes, put up 24 fantasy points the other day. This is a EuroLeague kid. I don't know if you guys saw highlights of him, but somebody, they signed him and everybody was like, dang, this guy's good. In Summer League, he was very impressive as well. There were some highlights going around. He's very good. He's already been playing in Euroball for a long time. So, you know, it'd be nice to get some Tyler Ulis. He'll probably get some more minutes, but it seems like Mike James will probably get the start. Keep your eye on that. I think of all those guys, it's probably Mike James and Malcolm Delaney are most interesting to me. They seem to have those jobs on lock. And I know what Dellavedova is, and Dellavedova is Neverovedova. add shooting guard. Sorry, that was shooting guard. I said Wes Matthews. That was the Mike James thing I forgot to mention. Small forward, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, two guys that you probably are going to go, oh, really? Okay. Explain, please. Dylan Brooks has been getting 30 minutes off the bench for Memphis. When they had to fill the minutes for Jermichael Green, it's been a lot of Jarrell Martin and James Ennis and Dylan Brooks has been coming in and playing the three for about 30 minutes. Been very productive. He got minutes in both games. Coach Fizdale clearly trusts him. So in a pace up game, this could be a really interesting spot for Brooks. The other guy is Kyle Anderson. You know, with no Kawhi out there, Kyle Anderson has been playing quite a bit, about 30 plus minutes per game, still very cheap. Two guys that seem to have their coaches' trust. You know, you don't have an unclear situation with Fizdale and Pop. If the kid is playing under Fizdale and Pop, they like him. They're going to use him. So I think in that respect, you feel good about these two guys possibly getting minutes that are secure for Brooks and Anderson at small forward. I'm gonna probably play at least one of those guys. Power forward, John Collins, Jarrell Martin, two interesting names for you. Johnny Collins just getting more and more minutes in Atlanta than we originally expected. Budenholzer likes him. He likes the rebounds. He likes the hustle. They're going to need him in there. You know, big Miami front court. They're going to need the rebounds there, no doubt about it. And they probably will need the scoring with no Schroeder out there. It should be Collins who, you know, possibly it could be Collins who picks up some of that usage. Jarrell Martin has been the one that took over the starters minutes for Jermichael Green. He's been fine. I mean, you know, Houston pace up game, plenty of rebound opportunities. You got to think Jarrell Martin is going to be worth at least a couple points there. So keep him in mind. Don't forget about Scal Abissier against the Suns. No doubt about it. Don't forget Scal against the Suns. He should be in a good position. But at center, though, that's kind of where I'm going for value is that Suns Sacramento game. Willie Cauley-Stein, he is actually below 6K. He's not a real value center, but he's interesting. Tyson Chandler should get the starters minutes. You know, and at 4K, you got to think that he can just get you the rebounds and the points to get you there. But I think I'd rather almost go with John Collins. There's just more ceiling there at 4K for him, you know. And there's just more possibility on DraftKings. On FanDuel, Collins is at the power forward. So I'd almost rather on FanDuel go down to a guy like Mike Muscala, maybe, if he gets 20 minutes there in Miami. Muscala is only 3,300, which is a really, really good value. You know, the thing is how many minutes are they going to give Chandler? You know, he's been getting 24 minutes on the dot. Can he get double-digit rebounds? He couldn't get double-digit rebounds in L.A. You know, I mean, in the Lakers is what I mean. So, you know, maybe he is a solid 20 points at that salary. You can kind of count it and then just move on. But the question is, how much ceiling does he have? All right. Let's go ahead and jump over to lineup construction. I'm going to see if I can throw together a quick lineup for you guys. Of course, this is just a suggestion, a starting place. This is always what people liked about the show. I think I'll give it a shot on FanDuel today for you. All right, as I see it, you're not going to fade these value point guards. Don't do it. Malcolm Delaney, Mike James, get them in there. I'm going to go at shooting guard. I'm going to attack James Harden. I like the usage. I like the possible tight matchup with Memphis in this one. At small forward, I'm not going to overlook Dylan Brooks. I think the minutes are there. If you got 30 minutes at 4-4 against a fast-paced team, I just can't overlook that. That's really special stuff. Giannis can fit in there because of the value guys out here today. Scal Abissier at 4,600. We know Phoenix is going to struggle defensively. He popped against Denver just the other day, 25 minutes. He got 32 minutes in the opener against Houston. I love those minutes for the young fella. So Scal, we know, has a ceiling at that price. He's definitely in good spot. It's Joel Embiid day. I'm not going to fade Joel Embiid. And that leaves me, well, so there's two ways that you can do this, right? So I could do at small forward, I can do KD, and then I can pay down for a min price center. So I could go to that Mike Muscala right there. I can get KD, Giannis, and Harden in one lineup. That's certainly interesting for me in this spot. But I do have Clay already in there, so you know, maybe I'll walk away from KD and I'll go over to a guy like an Embiid, and then I have $5,200 at small forward, which is kind of obnoxious price point because I could just about get to Kelly Oubre or Torian Prince, who I like in both of those situations. I think they could both be in a good spot here. You know, Oubre getting plenty of run, 35 minutes in a fast-paced game. You really like Oubre, and I wonder if I play with it a little bit, I wonder how I could get to Oubre. Yeah, it's hard. You got a lot of guys that you like. You got all the guys that you like in your respective positions. So Malcolm Delaney, Mike James, James Harden, Klay Thompson. Gonna fool around with small forward a little bit, but I do like Kelly Oubre. I do like Dylan Brooks a lot. Giannis in Scal, those are interesting spots. And then Embiid, of course, if you want to spend down at center, plenty of ways that you can go there as well. Hey, guys, if you like the NBA pod, the first one, if you come back on board, go ahead and retweet, review. I'm just trying to keep everybody happy here. So thank you for listening. Make sure people get this, spread the good word. The NBA pod is back. I appreciate you guys. NFL content coming at you for the rest of the week until we get you a Friday slate breakdown for the NBA. That is it for me. I will see you tomorrow.